Hello. We are approaching the end of what has been an interesting and possibly even momentous year in the politics of Scotland, which means the country will vote in 2014 on leaving the United Kingdom or not. And there's already campaigning going on both sides. A campaign so long, it will make US presidential contests look like a hop and a skip. Today, we're talking not about voting systems or economic models, but something both vaguer and also more important, which is the mood of the country. I'm joined by some of Scotland's most prominent writers, by the cultural commentator and journalist Joyce McMillan, by Scotland's best-known current historian Tom Devine, and by the only begetter of Rebus, Edinburgh's own criminal mastermind, Ian Rankin. Thanks to all of you. Can we just start with a bit of a historical perspective, Professor Devine? We've seen a very, very intense series of changes in Scottish politics with the rise of the SNP and stuff over the last 20 years and so on. We now have a date for the referendum, still arguments over the actual question itself. Is all of this percolating into sort of endless public debate in Scotland?
Well, some people say it's become so endless, it's become humdrum, because, you know, there has aspects to the debate which perhaps are not as productive so far as people thought they might be. But I think if people take a, you know, if you take a kind of long historical lens on this, I mean, we are living through truly historic times, because you'll recall that, you know, the union itself was hardly challenged, not even in terms of reforming it, between the mid-18th century and the 1960s and 1970s. So whatever happens in 2014, this is going to be a period that future scholars in my discipline will have to try and explain how this came about.
Sort of asymmetric climate change, as sudden global warming or something like that.
At the moment, it's a semi-mystery.
Yes. Ian Rankin. Same sort of question. What do you? In all of your Rebus novels, we always see something of what's going on in Scotland at the time. References.
Well, I mean, it certainly seems to be something that is filling the pages of newspapers and hours of radio and occasionally on TV. But I don't get a sense when you're in the shops or the pub or the cafes that it's the hottest topic on people's minds. And in some way that might be because of the saturation in the media, that every day in the media there's something else you can be reading on this, and it will be an opposing point of view. It will be an economist saying, no, that economist yesterday was completely wrong. So there's nothing for you to cling on to. And so what we tend to do is just go about our business and try and make it through the recession.
Segment 1. Hello, we are approaching the end of what has been an interesting and possibly even momentous year in the politics of Scotland, which means the country will vote in 2014 on leaving the United Kingdom or not. And there's already campaigning going on both sides. A campaign so long, it will make US presidential contests look like a hop and a skip. Today, we're talking not about voting systems or economic models, but something both vaguer and also more important, which is the mood of the country. I'm joined by some of Scotland's most prominent writers, by the cultural commentator and journalist Joyce McMillan, by Scotland's best-known current historian Tom Devine, and by the only begetter of Rebus, Edinburgh's own criminal mastermind, Ian Rankin. Thanks to all of you.
Segment 2.
Can we just start with a bit of a historical perspective, Professor Devine? We've seen a very, very intense series of changes in Scottish politics with the rise of the SNP and stuff over the last 20 years and so on. We now have a date for the referendum, still arguments over the actual question itself. Is all of this percolating into sort of endless public debate in Scotland?
Well, some people say it's become so endless, it's become humdrum, because, you know, there has aspects to the debate which perhaps are not as productive so far as people thought they might be.
Segment 3.
But I think if people take a, you know, if you take a kind of long historical lens on this, I mean, we are living through truly historic times, because you'll recall that, you know, the union itself was hardly challenged, not even in terms of reforming it, between the mid-18th century and the 1960s and 1970s. So whatever happens in 2014, this is going to be a period that future scholars in my discipline will have to try and explain how this came about.
Sort of asymmetric climate change, sudden global warming or something like that.
At the moment, it's a semi-mystery.
Yes.
Segment 4.
Ian Rankin. Same sort of question. What do you? In all of your Rebus novels, we always see something of what's going on in Scotland at the time. References.
Well, I mean, it certainly seems to be something that is filling the pages of newspapers and hours of radio and occasionally on TV. But I don't get a sense when you're in the shops or the pub or the cafes that it's the hottest topic on people's minds. And in some way that might be because of the saturation in the media, that every day in the media there's something else you can be reading on this, and it will be an opposing point of view. It will be an economist saying, no, that economist yesterday was completely wrong. So there's nothing for you to cling on to. And so what we tend to do is just go about our business and try and make it through the recession.